Children's choir. Kids choir is what they call it. Kids choir can be dismissed. Adult choir, you have to stay. I'm sorry. You have to stay. Although, their songs are much cooler. Sorry. Their songs are just fun, aren't they? I think the adult choir needs to start singing children's songs. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That's awesome. James chapter 4 tonight. I invite you, if you have your Bible, to take it and turn it to James chapter number 4. The teens tonight are going to Chipotle after the service because it's delicious, because we have a snack activity and I'm excited about it. My wife and I have free chips and queso to there. That's really the reason why we chose Chipotle. We didn't tell the parents that. You have to pay out full price. We get the discount tonight. James chapter number 4. Looking forward to this message. This is a really fun message. I preached this in youth group not too long ago, and some of the teens will recognize a couple of the illustrations from this, and it'll be fun. I look forward to the challenge that this has been to my life in preparation for it, and the reminder that it's been for me. James chapter 4, starting in verse number 13, you can keep your seat just where you are. Starting in verse number 13, the Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go in such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? Is it even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away? For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil." I'd like to preach to you a message tonight entitled, All Planned Out. All Planned Out. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Father, I pray that in this message, just as I've realized in my personal life, and I am continuing to work on this, to include you in each and every plan that I make. In each and every direction, each and every path I take in life, help me to include you and help us to remember and just get the reminder tonight that you are to be preeminent in our lives in every single thing that we say, think, or do. In your holy name I pray, amen. We miss out on the best part of life if we don't include God in our plans. I believe that. I believe that we can go through all of life having wonderful plans, having great ambitions, what the world might call, and live a good life, as some might say, yet without God, was anything really accomplished? Or did we just gain more stuff? Did we just gain more men's approval? What did we gain in this life? Did we build a farm? Did we start a business? Did we leave a legacy that will in 200 years, no one will even remember? Is that what we live for? That's the question I have to ask you tonight. We make many assumptions in life, don't we? We assume a lot of things. There are some safe assumptions to make in life. I woke up this morning. And I got up and I eventually got around to brushing my teeth after I drank my coffee, because I'm a Christian. And brushing your teeth and then drinking coffee is just gross, right? So I brushed my teeth after my coffee with my stinky breath. And I assumed that my toothpaste was safe. I assumed that no one had poisoned my toothpaste. Now, I don't know what kind of relationship you have this evening, but hopefully you can assume that as well. There are safe assumptions to make in life. You assume that your car is going to start. You assume that the seats, and I assume, and maybe it's not a safe assumption, but I assume when I sit down in this chair on Sunday evenings when I'm in here, that the chair is just not going to break out from under me. Now, I'm working on it, but for now, the chair is probably not. It's safe to say that chair is not going to buckle underneath me, but there are some dangerous assumptions that can be made in life. When you're at the grocery store and you see a woman in front of you, every man has made this mistake. Or heard about this mistake, at least. And you see a woman who looks like she might be expecting. And you start to utter the words, "When is the baby due?" And you realize there's no baby. It's just a food baby. That's a dangerous assumption. You can get yourself in trouble with that, right? You don't want to assume that. One dumb assumption that I've made, a dangerous assumption and a dumb assumption. I am kind of a novice when it comes to woodworking, and I decided to build the teenagers a carpet ball table. Many of you might know what a carpet ball table is. It's a very fun game. The teens play it. They kind of complain about the build of it sometimes. I think it's cool the way it leans to one way. But they kind of complain about it sometimes, but they play it every Sunday and every Wednesday. They're always there. They're always playing it, so it's a wonderful game. But while I was building it, you have to screw through a 2x, I think it was a 2x10 material and then a 4x4 material. So your drill bit, I had to go buy a special drill bit that was literally probably a foot long. And this drill bit's really wide. You had to do it for a carriage bolt. Some are with me, some are not. And probably not the best way to do it. If I had to do it again, I'm sure you have suggestions. I know I would do this differently. So I take the drill bit, and whenever I'm drilling normal stuff and it's kind of standing up, I kind of put my hand on the other side of the wood. And I wait to feel the wood start to splinter out with pine wood. Well, I realized that with this drill bit, with how much force was going from my drill, that you're not supposed to do that. And the drill bit came flying through there. It had a lot of torque, and it torqued my finger, and it hurt. It was a dangerous assumption to assume that I could leave my hand there. Another dangerous assumption that I've heard about. This is just funny story time with Pastor Scotty, I guess. But it's the beginning of the sermon. I could do this, right? But there was a carpenter one day, actually a carpet layer. And he was a professional carpet layer, probably the best of his trade. And he decided that one day he was in this house and he was laying this beautiful carpet. He had put his tack strip down. He had done everything possible. He brought in his carpet and he finished up everything. And as he's gathering his hammer, as he's gathering all of his tools, his carpet stretcher, he's about to walk out the door and he notices a lump in the carpet, in the middle of the carpet. And then he reaches for his pocket and he realizes his cigarettes were not there. It wasn't Pastor Wall. This is a different guy. Different guy. But he knows his cigarette pack isn't there, and he goes out to his truck and he can't find his cigarettes, and he looks in the back of his truck and he can't find his cigarettes, and he goes back in the house and he says, "That's my cigarettes." He assumed that's his cigarettes. So he gets the other end of his hammer. He gets the soft side of his hammer and he begins to nail. He didn't want to take up the whole carpet. Who's got time for that? So he begins to pound it. You know, tobacco, it just kind of falls apart and kills people. And he's just smashing it. And eventually he got it to where there's a little lump, but it wasn't noticeable. That's where the bed was going anyways. And he gets all of his tools out to his truck. And then he sees his pack of cigarettes. The wife of the family walks out and she says, "Have you seen our gerbil?" That was a dangerous assumption, right? That was just a dangerous assumption that he had made. Not a good one. A dangerous one. I love that story. I know it's horrible. That's one of my favorite stories. You should tell all your friends that story. I don't know where I got it, but it's a wonderful story. But that's a dangerous assumption. We make dangerous assumptions sometimes in life. And we see here in James chapter number 4, if I could reel you back in now, stop thinking about the dead gerbil, okay? Stop thinking about it. If I could reel you back in to think back on James chapter number 4, James points out a mentality that was in this church's mindset, and specifically in a few of the businessmen of the church, that they assumed that they had one more year. Look down to verse number 13 again. "Go to now." He's turning the attention towards these men. "Ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain." These men had it all planned out. These men knew exactly what they were going to do and when they were going to do it and where they were going to do it. They had a plan. So tonight, let's notice three observations from a man that had it all planned out. First of all, in this man's life, you see a wrong attitude. This is a businessman, and businessmen are planners. Most of them that are successful anyways are planners, and they get things all figured out. And he decided the city, which is a great thought when you're selling a certain good or service, that you're thinking about the city in which it's going to be sold. He thought about the profits and the gains that he would get and how much it would cost to buy these items. And no doubt that's smart. No doubt that's biblical to count the cost, whether you look like a fool when you're not able to finish. He decided to continue there. He decided, more than likely, this is referring to his living accommodations, and he is going to stay there. He is going to dwell in this city. He's maybe moving his whole family. He is settling down for a year in this city. And church, may I say that there's nothing wrong with planning. Absolutely nothing wrong with planning. And that there's nothing wrong with good business where you decide to make a profit. And that there's nothing wrong with hard work. And this man, no doubt, was looking forward to the hard work that he had in that city to support his family, support himself. But it is wrong when we leave God out of our planning. All of those things start to spiral out of control if we leave God out of it. We can have our plans. We can have our business plans. We can have it all drawn out. And yeah, maybe we'll make a little bit of money. Yeah, maybe we'll make a little bit of gain and a little bit of a show for ourselves in that place where we gain a business. But if we do it without God, is it really worth it in the end? Is it really worth it? That's my question tonight. When God is left out, our lives and plans can quickly spin out of control. And here's the assumption that we make that I think is dangerous. The assumption that I've learned and continue to learn day by day that I might not have next year. 2019 may not come for me. 2019 may not come for you. Now that's a sobering thought. And many of us in our minds, we start to despair over that thought. But may I remind you tonight, we shouldn't despair when we think of our final place, right? If we're truly Christians, it's a rejoicing moment, although we do want to live out our lives here on earth. But it gives us so much more purpose and so much more drive when we know what we're planning for. When we know, should I put it this way, when we know who we're planning for, why we're here, what we're doing, what it's pushing us towards in the will of God. Let me ask you this. Are we self-sufficient or are we God-sufficient? A God dependency leaves us more joyful, leaves us more happy. And may I say this, even if our plans don't work out the way we thought they would, at least we consulted God about them. At least they failed within the will of God and the parameters that He had set before us. Many of you are planners, and so am I. I love to plan. Now, I'm not going to say I always go through with my plans, but I love to plan. I love selective planning. May I say that? There's some things I love to plan and there's some things I love to procrastinate to plan. I love to plan finances. I love to look at my finances and how I could put this there and put this there and do this down on my house and get my house paid off by this date. I love that. I love planning church projects, things that the teens are going to do, especially when you're the youth pastor. It's really fun. Because your church project is like shooting a potato gun. Like literally one half day of my work week a couple of weeks ago was building a potato gun with Pastor Ogden. And he says he has to hang out with me every once in a while because the music guy is like, okay, it's kind of fun. But the youth pastor gets to do fun stuff all the time. And it's true. And I love that kind of planning. It's the selective planning that I have. I love planning teen activity schedules. I love that stuff and I get it done. I try to get it done as early as I can so it's in the books and so nothing else can kind of take over that time. I love to plan and I have big plans. I know exactly to the date, and this isn't me trying to show off. This is showing that we as humans like to plan some things. I know the exact date I want to pay my house off and I just bought my house. Now that plan might not work out, right? That plan may never come to fruition, but it's a plan. And when we plan to do these things, they're not necessarily bad things. But what I want to remind us is that plans without God equal bad plans. I have a friend right now, a distant friend, who is getting out of debt. And he's getting out of quite a bit of debt. And I was talking to him just the other day. And we were talking about how he's getting out of debt and how he's finally beginning to see God bless that. And how he's finally beginning to see the money roll in. And he gave me an interesting point of view about this when it comes to debt. And I'm a big Dave Ramsey follower and everything. And this person's starting to hit on that plan and everything. And he's getting out of debt. And he's seeing God, the checks just come in the mail. He's seeing God just completely provide. Once he made that step to, you know what, I'm not going to live this way anymore. You know what? I'm not going to depend on myself anymore. I'm going to depend on God. And since that, he gave me an interesting perspective. He said that he felt like, and I'm using kind of my own words to describe this, but he felt like God is starting to bless him because before he was just blessing himself. Basically, before that, he was just shortcutting God to gratification. And really, that's what debt is. And really, that's what our own plans become, right? We make our plans. We figure out how we could do it our way and within our parameters. But really, are we shortcutting God with our plans sometimes? Sometimes we get it all planned out. But did we consult God? Did we consult God? It's a dangerous attitude that this man had. To the planners, is God in your plan? Have you consulted Him about your next big thing? About your next big ambition in business or life or in your career? If God is not your priority, He will be a very small percentage in your life. And really, that's what I'm trying to say, is that if we don't plan to do God's will, we're not going to do God's will. What gets planned sometimes, most of the time, for some of us that are dedicated, what's planned gets done. And I fear for a lot of us, and I fear for myself, that many times my plans don't involve God. They involve my own intuition, my own wisdom, and I'm tired of it. And that's why I'm talking to you tonight about this, is because I believe that God wants a part in our life. That God cares about the small things that we might say, why do I even bother God with that? Bother God with that. God wants to know every little thing that you're going through. He already knows it. He wants you to ask. I preached to the children this morning, and Miss D. Tidball preached last week about prayer to the children and learning how to pray. And it's amazing that those small principles that I've heard from a child about prayer, I often don't do. Sometimes I think it would be fun to just do a revival in church on the basic principles that we already know. And that's really what revival is, isn't it? The basic principles that we already know, that if we were to instill those in our lives now, our life would see revival. We would see things change. And one of those things that we could do is include God in our plans. What a dangerous attitude to have, to assume another year. Secondly, we see this man's sobering outlook that James is trying to bring into his situation. Verse number 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. 7,500 people die in the U.S. daily. One day it'll be us. One day it'll be me. One day it'll be Pastor Morris. I mean, we saw it, right? It was so vivid and true. We saw it. One day it's going to be us. And we tend to fear death, but it is a sobering outlook that the Scripture gives us here. And also many other Scriptures attest to this. Psalm 39:4. Lord, this is my favorite message when it comes to the brevity of life. Because I believe that David is truly praying to God. He's realizing what life is all about. And David says this, Lord, make me to know my end. He's saying, God, remind me that I am not here forever. Make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. David's saying, God, remind me. God, remind me that I'm not on this piece of earth forever. I like what Leonard Ravenhill would often pray, and I thought it was a strange prayer, but it makes so much sense to me. Leonard Ravenhill, that famous preacher, would often pray, God, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. I thought he could have said it a little better, like maybe stamp eternity on my glasses. Like the other way just seems kind of crazy. But stamp eternity on my glasses. How differently we would live if we knew that eternity is just around the corner. How differently we would live if we knew that this was the last week of our life. If we knew that starting Monday, we had until Sunday again to do it all over again, and that was our final week, how differently we would live for Jesus Christ, knowing that in a week we'd see Him face to face. We'd see God. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of excited for that moment. Like, I hope I get to some of those points in life, and maybe this is my own selfishness and my own flesh, but I hope to get to the point where I have kids, hope to the point where I have grandkids, and I hope I get to that point. But if I were to see God face to face right now, that would be an amazing thing, wouldn't it, church? That if we were to see God face to face, and it's coming for us. And it's a reminder, not just a sobering reminder, but an encouraging reminder that we will see Jesus Christ face to face. Job 7:7, oh, remember that my life is wind. Psalm 144:4, man's life is vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. We're not here forever. We're not. It's good to remember our end and how frail we are. I often, in funerals at the church, I've not had a funeral at the church. I've only been here about 2 years in January 1st. I will have been here on staff for 2 years. And I haven't known anyone personally that's had a funeral here yet. So in the funerals, I often help in the sound booth, and I try to be there. I try to do whatever I can and press a button. And it's actually much harder than we give it credit. The sound job, right? There's often, like, whenever you hear a frequency go bad, and then maybe we're all like, we all look at once like they're looking at us, right? Like they're like, oh, that guy's looking at me. I need to fix that. But they know, like, they can hear it. They know what's going wrong, but By the way, we only notice the sound. Now I'm preaching about sound guys, but this is okay. I've wanted to say this. We only notice the sound guys. This has got a spiritual application somewhere. We only notice the sound guys when they do their job wrong. Right? We only notice the sound or when something random messes up. Right? But I'm thankful for you guys up there. You guys are good. Even though you're having a conversation and eating Twinkies up there. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. But the sobering outlook, I don't know where I was. It's good for us to remember our end. Oh, yes, I often sit up there. I sit up there and talk just like you guys and eat mints. They got a whole, by the way, if you've never been up there, go up there. There's candy up there. I'm not joking. There is candy up there. There's different jars of candy. And now it's out of the bag now, guys. Out of the bag. But you can go up there. Sorry, guys. But you can go up there and get you some candy. But I often sit up there. I look down at the shell of what that person was. Obviously, that's just their shell, right? And they will one day be resurrected, and that person is living with Jesus Christ. But any of you have been to a funeral, you're reminded that that's going to be you one day. And I sit up there, and every time I have a sobering thought of, what am I doing for Jesus Christ while I'm here? And it's a reset moment in our life, and I'm not trying to discourage you by reminding you of death tonight. I'm trying to encourage, which means to place courage within, that we can live a life that includes God's plan, that includes God's will for us to succeed with Him and not just on our own. Lastly, you see a reasonable response that James wishes this man had in verse number 15. He said, "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord will." I feel like in our Christian circles, we've almost made a joke out of that, right? If the Lord will. When I first was coming here on staff, and before they had made the final decision to bring me on staff, they asked me all sorts of questions. They went back and forth. They played rock, paper, scissors, whether they should take me in. They did everything they could to take me in. And they put me through the test. They put me through the test. I'm not going to tell that funny story. But Pastor Wall basically sprayed some solution on a certain part of me when we were out in public to see how I would respond. Like contact solution, he sprayed me with that. So later I poured a bottle of water. It was a fun time, but we were doing this, and the joke became, the second time I visited, we would talk about hypotheticals, you know, and the phrase became, if the Lord will. You know, if Lord willing, I come on staff here. And at that point, we kind of knew. Like, it was almost making fun of if the Lord will. But in our lives, we don't often think and stop and think, if the Lord will in my life. Acknowledge God in everything you do. I say that, but that's a hard thing to do, isn't it? Acknowledging God in even the small monotony of your life on days where you're doing things around the house or you have a day off and you're fixing things. Those are the times when you need God the most sometimes, when you're frustrated with something that you can't fix. Or how many of you have lost your phone and you got a special relationship with God, right? Or you lost your Apple Watch or you lost your keys. You found that special prayer life, right? You cleaned out your closet like it was a war room and you were just praying, "Lord, help me to find these keys. If I find my keys, I will get my life." You did all this, but we need to acknowledge God in everything we do and make Him a part of our daily life. But I fear that we often live, and I often live, and just being honest with you, practically sometimes we live like atheists, don't we? Practically in our lives, we have this knowledge in our mind we are Christians and that we are children of God, but we go throughout our days as if we're not children of God, forgetting of whom we are, that whose we are, that we are Jesus Christ and His children. So I prefer, church, that you make a decision tonight, individually in your own lives, that you will not go another day living without including God in your plans. Include Him in everything you do. Teens who are about to go to college, include God. Oh, please, include God in your plans while you're looking at schools. Include Him. Don't make it all about money and finances and education. Those things are all important, but include God in that. Those things are all important, but include God. Whatever big decision, career, or other in your life that you're making, bring God into the situation. Get God in on it and make Him a part of your life. It's an obvious thing, but it's something we often forget to do. It would be odd if I never acknowledged my wife when it came to important decisions in my life. It would be odd and bad for my health. If I never acknowledge my wife when it came to big decisions in my life. If I came home and I told my wife, "Hey, wife," that's what I call her, like kids church or kids choir. I just call her wife. "Hey, wife, I think we're going to buy this house over here and sell this one. First of all, it would be more like this. Wife, I've already closed on this house and signed your name to it. And we're selling this house and we're moving next week. That'd be odd, right? That'd be kind of strange. Or what if I told her, hey, we're moving to Alaska. Pastor Monty's told me I could plant a church in Alaska and we're going to leave next month. So you need to say goodbye to everyone, that all of our family now that we've gained at this church. You need to say goodbye. That would be really odd. Or I would say, hey, those friends that we had, you remember those friends that we hung out with? Yeah, we're not friends with them anymore. Those aren't our friends anymore. That would be really odd, right? But how often do we do that with God? How often do we sit in a new house? And I thought about this, and we prayed coming up to our house, and we tried to include God as much as we could in the plans. But I thought about that, how big of a decision we make, and we don't even address, we don't even consult the very God who loves us more than anyone. It's a dangerous presumption to leave God out of our plan. So acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him in business. You businessmen. This is specifically talking about businessmen. James is wishing that these men that say, hey, I'm going to go this year and go to this place and do this or that. Well, that's good and fine. But James is saying, hey, if the Lord will, find out if that's God's will or not. In your relationships, especially those of you that are younger and you're considering starting to date, include Him in your plans. Don't ignore Him in your plans. Include Him in your plans. How about your marriages? Include Him in your plans. Whatever you're doing in your marriage, include Him in your friendships, your friendships and your priorities and your attitudes and your day-to-day activities and your values in your life. Let Him into your life in every single aspect. And I promise that those plans, although our plans, even inside the will of God, don't turn out exactly as we would have designed. By the way, that's just the point. They don't turn up exactly how we designed because maybe God wanted something else. And often the something else is much better than what we could have planned. Right? I'm sure you've all seen that in your life. So include God in your plans. That's my challenge tonight. The brevity of life. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. What are we doing with our plans? What are we doing with the things that we are doing now that we're leaving God out of? I encourage you tonight, include God in those plans. Let God into your life. Maybe it's at an altar tonight. Maybe it's there in your seat. And maybe it's you praying to God saying, God, I've been operating without you. And God, my plans haven't involved you unless I get into a pinch. So God, help me even in the small monotony up to the big, huge decisions when it comes to business and career in my life to include you in the process and to see if the Lord is willing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord, I pray that we would acknowledge your will. Lord, I pray that I would acknowledge your will. When it comes to these small and big decisions in our life, may we consult you first. Lord, may we not assume that we just have another year here on earth to live or do this or that or do what we want to do. But Father, may we truly consult you and commit our lives to you this evening. In your name I pray. Amen. You may stand and Pastor